The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu
and Yvonne Atilego.
In the headlines, President Mahama assures Ghanaians living abroad of incident-free polls. Eastern Regional Police Command inaugurates security task force to flush out Fulani headsmen. FDA says its investigation shows no proof of millipede in palm oil. A plane with cargo worth millions of South African rands impounded in Zimbabwe after a dead body was found on board. And France and Turkey say airstrikes on hospitals in northern Syria constitute war crimes. But first, a summary by Yvonne.
President John Mahama has assured Ghanaians living abroad not to be worried about political rhetoric that seemed to create tension as elections get close. He said it is a normal practice, but nonetheless his government is committed to ensuring peaceful, free and fair elections. President Mahama was addressing the Ghanaian community in the Iranian capital Tehran to round off his three-day visit to that country. The Eastern Regional Police Command has inaugurated a 120-member security task force to flush out Fulani headsmen. Speaking on our current affairs program behind the news, the Eastern Regional Police Commander, DCOP Awubutoge Awuni, said Operation Cowleg has become necessary because the nomads have caused enough havoc to innocent farmers. The Food and Drugs Authority says its investigation shows no proof of millipedes in palm oil. The authority has therefore assured the public that palm oil on the market is safe. The head Food Safety Management Department of the FDA, Maria Lovelace Johnson, said this at a news conference organized by the Palm Oil Development Association at Odona in Accra. And a plane with cargo worth millions of South African rand has been impounded in Zimbabwe after a dead body was found on board. Blood was seen dripping from the South African-bound cargo plane during a refueling stop. Zimbabwe's Civil Aviation Authority said the matter has been handed over to the police to investigate.
DBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
President Mahama has asked Ghanaians living abroad not to be worried about what he describes as political rhetoric that seems to create tension as elections get close. He said it's a normal practice, but nonetheless, his government is committed to ensuring peaceful, free and fair elections. President Mahama was addressing the Ghanaian community in the Iranian capital, Tehran, to round off his three-day visit to that country. Meanwhile, President Mahama says government will embark on a vigorous program to diversify the economy, starting with the oil and gas sector. According to the president, after 58 years, the country should have moved away from just exporting raw materials to value addition. Pascaline Adadivo sent this report from Tehran.
As is the ritual, President Mahama meets the Ghanaian community on his official travels outside Ghana. The Ghanaian community in Iran is mainly made up of students on scholarship studying in various fields. President Mahama briefed them on his interactions with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani and other bilateral discussions he has had. He said Ghana has a lot to learn from Iran, especially in the oil and gas sector, agro-processing and agribusiness. President Mahama was hopeful the agreement reached with the Iranian side will bear fruit. He briefed the students on how government is working to make the economy better, as well as the IMF program. President Mahama said investments can only thrive in a stable economy.
Last year, I had to sign on to an IMF program. The program is going very well. We completed two reviews that were very positive. We're on target. We're achieving all the targets. And we have the figures for the end of last year, which the Minister of Finance released just last week. And all the figures show that we're on track in terms of reducing the deficit, and in terms of fiscal consolidation, all of them are on track. Indeed, we appear to have even perform better than the target we...
On the elections to be held on November 7th, President Mahama asked Ghanaians domiciled in Iran not to pay heed to political rhetorics and concocted stories that will be flying around, as it is characteristic of any election year. He said his government is committed to ensuring that Ghana remains peaceful before and after the elections.
We are in an election year, and so, of course, there's a lot of political rhetoric, and you must know that it's normal in election year. A lot of the political argumentation and debates are heightened a bit, but I can assure you that we will have peaceful and successful elections. And Ghana will continue to be the beacon of democracy in Africa. The Electoral Commission is getting ready. They released the calendar. And the unique thing about the election this year is it's been pulled forward by 1 month. And so instead of first week of December, it will rather be in the first week of November. The reason that was done was to give us enough time for the transition. We realized that we normally hold elections December 7th. And we hand over on January 7th. And so normally that amount of time is not enough for proper, you know, transition to occur.
President Mahama encouraged the students to take their studies seriously, particularly those studying theology and religion. He said happenings around the world is an indication that people need to be educated on the fact that religion is not violent. From the Iranian capital, Tehran, Kalina Dadevu, Radio Ghana.
Meanwhile, President John Mahama has invited Iranian investors to Ghana's energy sector, describing it as a priority area. According to him, the country needs an additional 2,000 megawatts to meet the demand in the medium and long-term industrialization plan. President Mahama was addressing a trade and investment forum in the Iranian capital, Tehran. About 20 Iranian companies have expressed interest in doing business in Ghana. Another report by Pascaline Adadevo.
Iran has been under UN sanctions for its nuclear activities for years. The sanctions were lifted last year when Iran signed an international agreement known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action with five permanent members of the UN Security Council and Germany. Iran agreed to eliminate its storage of enriched uranium, among others. This has opened up the country for business and forming partnerships. The Iranian Minister of Trade, Industry and Mines indicated his country's readiness to take up any form of investment in Ghana. He stated that Iran is equally blessed with natural resources and willing to explore them with other countries in a win-win situation. President Mahama was hopeful that Iran can partner Ghana in the areas of energy, oil and gas, affordable housing, mining and education. He said the Iranian technical expertise in those fields can push his government's transformational agenda. As a chief salesperson for Ghana, President Mahama also used such opportunities to espouse Ghana's conducive social, political, and economic environment, which make the country the preferred choice to do business.
Ghana has quite a lot of skilled labor, but the good thing about a Ghanaian is he's easily trainable. And so if you can't even find the skills, it's very easy to train Ghanaians to adapt the skill. We are established as a financial hub in West Africa and have many banks that are ready to do business with investors. Ghana guarantees repatriation of profits, free transfer of funds in and out of the country without any restrictions. We also have a strong legal and judicial framework. And so for investors who are concerned about the regulatory environment and the administration of justice.
As part of efforts by government to diversify the energy sector, President Mahama invited private sector power producers to invest in the production of gas and also look at some renewable sources of energy like wind and solar. The extractive sector also came up for attention.
And we currently are producing 120,000 barrels of oil a day, and that is from our field called the Jubilee Field. There's a new field that we are bringing into production, and it will start producing oil by August this year. And so that links up with the power sector, because before that gas is available, then we need to put in power plants to be able to take up the gas and produce the power. And so there are opportunities for power generation, and that's another area we think that we can collaborate. Other important areas include construction and construction materials, cement, ceramics, iron rods, and all the other material that we use for construction.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hannah Tete, who once headed the Trade and Industry Ministry, outlined the procedures for establishing business in Ghana.
In order to be able to invest in Ghana, we want to make it as easy as possible for you. And so we have tried, through the legislative framework that we have put in place, to give a prospective investor into Ghana the opportunity to be able to manage and control your own investment. And so you are allowed to own a wholly foreign-owned business. In other words, if you chose to, you could have 100% equity that is vested in your company. You are not compelled to have a Ghanaian partner. If you would wish to, that is your choice, but it is by no means an obligation. To make that investment, we require you to do a few things. We would want you to register a business in Ghana with the Registrar General's Department. We would want you to register with the Ghana Investment Promotion Center.
About 20 Iranian businesses registered to participate in the conference and network with their Ghanaian counterparts. Iran, with a strong industrial base, has a developed healthcare sector which currently manufactures anti-cancer medicines.
Pascalina Dadevo sent that report from Tehran.
The chairman of the Energy Commission, Dr. Kwame Ampofu, says a sustainable energy sector requires massive investment. He says given the rise in population annually in the country, a conscious effort must be made to increase investment to meet the demand. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Ampofu made a strong case for the inclusion of independent power producers in the production of energy.
We have to ensure that there's timely investments in the capacities. That is our plan, planning and investment in the generation side.
Okay.
We have to make sure that the available capacity, now not installed capacity, the available capacity is always ahead of demand.
It is argued that to have sustainable available capacity, it is all about money.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, because you are making investment, and that is why it's prudent to bring in private investors, so that private people use their private money, but we benefit from their
services.
But the
implication of the private man coming in, the cost factor.
No, it's a contractual thing. All over the world, there are standards of the pricing and the cost of fuel, and these are international prices.
Okay.
So really, they can be regulated, but you have to measure that cost to the cost of not having power at all. The demand is growing at a rate of about 10 to 12% per annum. Population is growing, so there are more consumers, and you see that demand for power is growing at about 10% per annum. When you translate this 10% growth addition, it translates into about 200 megawatts every year.
So it means that the thermal plants,
we must keep pace with that growth.
Okay.
We must make sure that every year 200 megawatts are added.
Chairman of Energy Commission, Dr. Kwame Ampofu.
Away from energy issues, Aglo International says prayer is an assignment mandated to every human being regardless of their religious affiliation. As Ghana and some 15 other countries in Africa prepare to go to the polls to elect new leaders, it is the duty of people in these countries to seek the face of God for divine intervention. Opening the annual Watchman on the Wall seminar in Accra, President of the group, Dr. Dorothy Danso, said Ghana is a sovereign country whose people believe in God's visitation in the affairs of the nation. She declared Ghana will not perish because the people will declare God as the winner in the November elections. Irabna Paha reports.
The main hall of the Accra International Conference Center was charged with members of the Aglo International singing and dancing to both local and foreign gospel songs. The annual seminar dubbed The Watchman on the Wall is a platform on which members of the group seek divine intervention in matters relating to the nation. It is also designed to equip believers by providing them with a biblical framework to understand and communicate issues regarding fervent prayer for the nation and the people. Dwelling on Isaiah 62, President of AGLO, Dr. Mrs. Dorothy Danso said, God has placed the watchman on the walls of Ghana, who will never be silent day or night, ensuring the safety of the country. Waxing biblical, Dr. Danso allayed the fears of the people, saying, he that watches over Ghana will never sleep nor slumber.
The day that the Bible has shown was blown upon the people of Gilead, silent after a war, rebuilt them. Change their purpose and direction, call them for salvation to Virginia. There were 6 people that were chosen to live in the performance of this assembly, and the people were called the watchmen. Are you the watchmen?
Tourism Minister Elizabeth Ofosu-Jari represented President Mahama's belief in the prayers of AGLO and other religious institutions aimed at ensuring peaceful election in November. Special prayers led by Mrs. Gitiafeyi Dazi were set for Ghana and some war-torn countries. The climax of the 3-day seminar will be held at the Independence Square on Saturday under the theme, The Lord Will Not Sleep for the Sake of Ghana.
Irabna Paha reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. President Mahama assures Ghanaians living abroad of incident-free pools. Eastern Regional Police Command inaugurates security task force to flush out Fulani headsmen. FDA says its investigation shows no proof of millipedes in palm oil. A plane with cargo worth millions of South African rand impounded in Zimbabwe after a dead body was found on board. And France and Turkey say airstrikes on hospitals in northern Syria constitute war crimes. We'll be back after this break.
The Eastern region has inaugurated a 120 security task force to flush out Fulani headsmen in the region. Speaking on Behind the News, the Eastern Regional Police Commander, DCOP Awubuntuge Awuni, said Operation Cow Leg has become necessary because the nomads have caused enough havoc to innocent farmers. They said they are not leaving any stone unturned as they whip the headsmen in line, saying they cannot disregard the law. He spoke to George Asikri.
For some time now, even before I came to recently, Cow Leg has been a headache for this country as far as herdsmen and indigenous of the country are concerned. Cows have been brought into the system. We have traditional herdsmen who one way or the other control their cattle, but we have those who have migrated into the country. And the free range, everybody's farm is their grazing ground. They go after the wives of the indigenous, rape them, kill people, pollute water. In fact, when I came here, I have been able to go to the Kwawu hinterland to see the harm myself. Farms burnt, cocoa farms burnt because they want the grass to sprout so that they can get fodder for the cattle. At one time, the water source had been polluted in one of the villages, and when the inhabitants wanted to talk, these people brought cans to come and fair all over the place. I had to lead a team of policemen from Ngoko to go there. And there is a whole lot of carnage up there, the remote areas, especially in Dongokrum, for example. And therefore, we thought that the uprise against them in Agogo has also pushed them here. And almost every hamlet in the mountains has been occupied by Fulani herdsmen.
So what are you doing with them now?
Currently, we have sent about 12 teams out to various areas to track the nomads, protect the citizens who have their farms around, and try the nomads and send that they get them out so that they don't destroy property.
Where are you expecting them to go to?
They are not from here. They should go to where they came from.
Have you collaborated with the Fulani herdsmen in this exercise?
collaborating with herdsmen. That's not my business at all. My business is to protect life and property.
So what form are they going to, like, are they going to first of all engage them so that if they don't move, then force will be applied? Or, I mean, exactly what instructions are we giving to the men?
We are not going to beg any Fulani man there. We are going out there to enforce law and order. The Fulani herdsmen should know that they are running their cattle to feed their family, and the Ghanaians are farming to feed their family.
Eastern Regional Police Commander DCOP Abuntuge Awini.
The Ghana National Fire Service has warned the public against falling prey to a recruitment scam. There are reports in the regions about some persons purporting to be selling recruitment forms to members of the public with a view to recruiting them into the service. The acting PRO of the service, Osafo Efum, advises the public to treat such sale of forms as fraudulent and alert the police to arrest such persons. He told Radio Ghana that the service will inform the public when there is any recruitment.
93 deaths out of 584 meningitis cases have been reported in affected districts in all the 9 regions across the country as of last weekend. On the line is the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Ebenezer Piadenchira, to tell us more. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So can you tell us the latest on the spread of the meningitis?
Yeah, thank you very much, and good morning to everyone. Yes, we've had a sudden surge of increased numbers of meningitis cases in one of the districts in the Ghana half of Jama North. We've got about, within the 2 days, about 2-3 days, we've got about 50 cases. But these are all suspected cases. I mean, the announcement has gone around. Anybody who has a headache, a fever, neck pain, should report. So there's actually been a lot of people coming to report. Apart from that, all the other regions and districts, the case load has actually gone down. We have one or two deaths. So apart from this particular district, everything is on the descending.
How effective are measures put in place to contain the disease?
Yeah, basically, we've engaged the laboratory like Agnubuchi at KCTR, and then from Gambia Medical Research Center. So they have been confirming the cases. And the regional laboratories pick them, do the lumbar puncture in the hospitals, and then send the specimen samples to this facility. They've then been going around also giving a lot of health education to the public through the media, and then also schools, and then the various religious organizations, then the community, the surveillance teams, also the district committees have been meeting. We've contacted the traditional leaders. They've been giving the gong and giving the announcement, and then also use the public address system. So these are more measures put in place. We've also alerted all the hospitals on suspicion of cases, so that all cases, lumbar punches are done, and then samples are taken for investigation.
So what do you tell them when you go on such campaigns?
Hello.
What do you tell the people when you go on such campaigns?
Yeah, we tell them that Ghana fever is common to fever and headaches, and normally people tend to diagnose with malaria. But this time round, when the weather is so harsh and people are coughing, we should have other suspicion. They should report immediately to the hospital or the nearest health center for the appropriate diagnosis to be made.
And what are the responses? How have the responses been?
It has been marvelous. That is the reason why I've been getting so number of cases. But then we are yet to confirm the new cases that have come. Possibly they may not even be meningitis at all. We've also been telling people to drink a lot of water to avoid the coughing. And then also to avoid overcrowded places.
All right. And do you have sufficient vaccines to contain the cases?
Actually, we have enough medicines. This time, I'm not using the vaccine. The medicine is very effective.
So the vaccine is not? Is that
yes,
the case?
That's why we are using the medicine. We only use vaccines when we get beyond certain threshold, which WHO has prescribed for our country. So we keep on monitoring closely. But we are not below it, except this when the suit has come and then we are confirming whether what the case that they reported actually meningitis or not.
All right, thank you very much, sir. We've been talking to the Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Ebenezer Piadentura, on the latest on meningitis cases in the country.
Investigations by the Food and Drugs Authority indicate that there is no proof of millipedes being added to palm oil. The authority has therefore assured the public that palm oil on the market is safe. The head of Food Safety Management Department of the FDA, Maria Lovelace Johnson, said this at a news conference organized by the Palm Oil Development Association at Odona in Accra. Joyce Jechi reports.
The Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, says its investigation so far has not been able to establish that millipedes are added at the preparation of palm oil. The head Food Safety Management Department of the authority, Maria Lovelace Johnson, said investigations are still ongoing.
For now, it seems that it's not even true. We will have to talk to the researcher and the school that published it, actually, so that next time they will do more such stuff. Because you really have to establish facts before you put it out there.
She has expressed surprise why people will add millipedes to palm oil preparation.
Palm oil is produced in large quantities. So if millipedes are used, then they have to be sold in large quantities as well. I've been doing some kind of investigation. They've been trying to ask people that, oh, we want some 3 millipedes to buy, or maybe a can of millipedes, something just to show that it was something they were doing. But it's not so.
The market queen of the Odona branch of the Palm Oil Association of Ghana, Beatrice Ewusi, said their research is baseless.
Yeah, my baby, yeah, no, 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 baby. Me say, my research man over 30 years. Can one am diaga me best school ni ade. Pass am nube kuye ya nukre ni ahadi pa. Me say, am I a diaga no? Egu. Into yes, tre ni pakua osi okwe yes our research no. Oh my God, what's happening?
Another member of the association from Agbogbloshi, Mr. Fusishima, appealed to researchers to do thorough investigations before going public with their findings.
If you are someone assembly or honor to Omotia, Omunia, but transfer on the radio station because I want to know, and one I have to my dishes and all your bar, no who was scattered then crowd, but when you be.
The Executive Secretary of the Oil Palm Development Association, Isaac Kwam, urged stakeholders to get the information on the industry from credible sources in order not to create unnecessary fear among consumers.
Joyce Jechi reporting.
On the foreign front, a plane with a cargo worth millions of South African rand has been impounded in Zimbabwe after a dead body was found on board. Blood has been dripping from the South African-bound cargo plane during a refueling stop. Zimbabwe Civil Aviation Authority said the matter has been handed over to the police to investigate.
Egyptian officials have suspended a television talk show after a guest suggested that almost a third of the country's women are unfaithful to their husbands. The country's media authority has banned the show for 15 days following complaints about the comments.
And France and Turkey say airstrikes on hospitals in northern Syria constitute war crimes. The UN says up to 50 people have been killed in missile attacks on schools and hospitals in the region. Turkey's foreign ministry blamed Russia for the attacks. Moscow is yet to respond to the allegations. Meanwhile, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has cast doubts over plans to implement a cessation of hostilities in Syria.
And now to end the news, the main point again. President John Mahama has assured Ghanaians living abroad of peaceful, free and fair elections in November. He was addressing the Ghanaian community in the Iranian capital, Tehran, to round off his 3-day visit to that country. The Eastern Regional Police Command has inaugurated a 120-member security task force to flush out Fulani herdsmen. Speaking on our current affairs program behind the news, the Eastern Regional Police Commander, DCOP Awumbutoge Awuni, said Operation Cowleg has become necessary because the nomads have caused enough havoc to innocent farmers. The head of Food Safety Management of the FDA, Maria Lovelace Johnson, says its investigation in the authority shows no proof of millipedes in palm oil. The authority has therefore assured the public that palm oil on the market is safe. And France and Turkey say airstrikes on hospitals in northern Syria constitute war crimes. The UN says up to 50 people have been killed in missile attacks on schools and hospitals in the region. Turkey's foreign ministry blamed Russia for the attacks. Moscow is yet to respond to the allegations. The news was presented by Yvonne Atilogun
and Barbara Yakube in Accra.